Hello, hello. I'm back with another episode. I hope you all are having a great week. It's a new start to the week. Pretty much, we're just gonna get right into it. So, everyone's been talking about the season 6 of the show Love is Blind. It's a Netflix original show, pretty much. If you aren't aware of what the show is about, people go into these pods. They cannot see the other person that they're talking to. They can only just talk to them in the hopes that they get engaged. They spend time with each other, and at the end of the show, they can then get married. The whole premise of the show is to prove that love is blind and that you don't have to physically see another person in order to make judgments about them, to be in a relationship with them, which I will share my thoughts on the basis of that. My whole objective for this episode is I'm going to choose 3 couples that I feel displayed certain qualities that are good in relationships and not so good in relationships. And yeah, we are gonna get right into it. So the first couple that I'm going to discuss is Amy and Johnny. Right away, I knew that they were going to get engaged right away. I knew right away that they had a very strong connection. The biggest telltale sign that I knew that was going to be, you could tell that they were themselves. They didn't come into it with so much aggression, thinking, I have to find my person. This is the only chance that I have. If I don't get it right this time, I'm never going to be able to find my person. There were a few contestants that had that mentality, you could tell, such as Jessica. You could tell she looked at it like it was a competition to compete with the other girls to find love and to get married, and that isn't the point of the show. Johnny and Amy remembered little things about one another. They remembered what their original names were going to be, that their parents were going to name them. And you could just tell that they were both extremely comfortable with one another. And one thing Johnny knew right away, Johnny was the first person to get engaged. He was the first person. He asked Amy right away, please marry me. He knew, and I feel like this is a very important point to bring up, especially any women that are listening. Men are typically very easy. There's not really much to figure out with them. If you are dealing with someone, it really could be man or woman, but I'm a woman and I like men, so I can't really speak from the role reversal. However, if you're dealing with a man and you're met with confusion, you are going back and forth in your mind, does he like me? You're throwing out the what are we? And he's not really giving you anything solidified. You need to walk away from that situation. I must add nuance to that, because there is a such thing as love bombing, where someone is coming at you very quickly. Someone is already telling you within 2 days of meeting you, you're the love of my life. I want to spend the rest in my life with you. You're perfect. You're this. I mean, they're telling you all of the things. And there actually was a contestant on the show named Matthew who ended up doing this to 2 of the ladies on the show. They had only been in the pods for a few days, maybe 3 or 4 days. And he had told 2 of the ladies, I'm going to ask your father, you know, if I can take your hand in marriage and we can just leave now. And he even told one of the women he said that if he asked her to marry her, it would be the best day of her life, which was just super cringe, because if you're on a show to meet your person, it should be for both of you. So you also have to be mindful of that. There is a such thing as people being manipulative, and they want to do everything so quickly because they don't want to give you time to think. So that's when your discernment has to come in for sure. But back to Amy and Johnny, you could just tell it was authentic. You could tell they were very comfortable. There was no stressing. You could tell that they are 2 very securely attached people. Amy laid it out right away what her boundaries were. She told Johnny right away, I have a brother. We have a very strong bond, a very strong relationship, and he does require 24/7 care. And would it be okay with you in the event if I had to care for my brother if he had to live with us? Would that be an issue for you? And Johnny stated no. It wouldn't be an issue. And Amy really put it out on the table that she's very, very close with her family. She has a very tight bond with them. And she laid out what was important to her, and Johnny had no objections against that, and they were able to move forward. Johnny and Amy weren't also caring about the other contestants on the show. There were some people who were saying they were the top couple or they were the best couple, and Amy and Johnny, they weren't thinking about anyone else. They were just so in love with one another, enjoying one another so much, they couldn't care any less about what was going on with the other people on the show, which I think is also another important thing. You're not comparing. They weren't comparing their situation to other people's situation, which I feel is another healthy sign of a relationship. Amy and Johnny, exemplary sign of a healthy relationship, a healthy couple. And I think their situation was so healthy that the producers kind of had to give a narrative that there was an issue to a relationship, which was a very small issue. Amy does not take birth control. She does not want to take it. And Johnny has always been with women who took birth control. And he is very adamant on the fact that he is not ready to have children right now. You can tell that Johnny is a very planning type of person, whereas Amy is, if it happens, it happens, and we will be great parents and we'll figure it out as we go along. Plan. We're gonna get ready to have kids at this time. And so I felt like the producers, they fluffed it up to make it seem like a much bigger deal than it really was with the birth control issue. Because, I mean, she could go on birth control. He could get a vasectomy. There are such thing as condoms. I mean, I guess they could use, you know, the withdrawal method, I guess, too. I feel like that was a very small issue. There were really no large character flaws between Amy and Johnny, which is very, very important. You can have your differences. You can have different morals and different values. At the end of the day, it's really just about your character, and are you just willing to compromise on certain things in your character be intact? Amy and Johnny had all of those things, and I believe that that's what made their relationship very, very healthy. So if you do watch Love is Blind, that's the couple. That's definitely the power couple. They were the only couple to end up getting married to. So the next couple that I'm going to discuss is Chelsea and Jimmy. Whew, let me tell you, those two, I feel as if that's probably about 40% of couples these days, if I could be honest. The both of them equally have a lot of work to do. So let's go on ahead and get into Jimmy, okay? Jimmy came in right away. I read him as someone, as a man who does not know what he wants. He has no idea what he's looking for. Jimmy is just the type of man that he just knows that he just wants something different. And me personally, I steer clear of men who just say, I just want something different. What does that even mean? I want something different. What does that even mean? Jimmy is a small town boy. He's got country ass parents, which is, there's nothing wrong with that. But he's a small town boy. He hasn't really been exposed to anything. And so you could just tell that that's what Jimmy's looking for. I want to do something different, have something different. So he was talking to one woman named Jessica. Jessica, beautiful woman. She's your typical Instagram model. The Botox, the lip fillers, the hair extensions, the boob job, you know, beautiful girl. Jimmy did like Jessica until she dropped the bomb on him that she had a child. Chelsea, she's a flight attendant. She travels a lot. She's from Los Angeles. And so her upbringing and where she lived, her lifestyle, that was in complete contrast to what Jimmy was used to. So Jimmy had liked Jessica, and he also had liked Chelsea. He ended up choosing Chelsea. However, Jimmy, you could just tell that Jimmy was thinking about a lot of things, but he wasn't expressing his feelings, which kind of left both of the women confused. Jimmy ends up choosing Chelsea. Okay, Miss Chelsea. Oh, Lord. Chelsea, Chelsea, Chelsea. Chelsea was definitely the problem. Jimmy had his issues too, don't get me wrong, but Chelsea was the problem. Right away, I could tell that Chelsea was insecure. If you haven't been on social media to see, it's pretty much had been going viral that Chelsea compared herself to Megan Fox. And even in the show when she did it, I knew she was doing it from a place of insecurity because she didn't flat out say, everyone tells me I look like Megan Fox. No, she says, people tell me that I have a celebrity lookalike. And Jimmy asks, okay, who? And she says, it's MGK's girlfriend or wife? I'm not sure. And so Jimmy's sitting there thinking and he says, oh, Megan Fox. Okay, let's be for real. Who do most people know more, MGK or Megan Fox? I feel like the unanimous decision is that most people like Megan Fox. I mean, come on, let's be real here. If you really felt like you looked like Megan Fox, you definitely would have said, everyone tells me that I look like Megan Fox. I believe that she had just said that so that her own self-esteem could be boosted and she could try to get Jimmy to like her more. This backfired on her because once she made that comparison, you have to remember, they can't see each other. They're still in the pod. And so at this point, Jimmy is creating a figment of his imagination on what he believes Chelsea looks like. So he's believing that Chelsea is thin, tall, dark hair, blue-eyed, model-esque, beautiful face. He's picturing her to be looking like all these things, which is further setting up an expectation. And this is also what I feel the show misses the mark on, because you have to see what the person looks like and you can't be with someone if you're not remotely attracted to them. I mean, much easier to be somewhat attracted to someone and then their personality adds to it. I believe that that's a very common thing because you also don't want to be lusted after, which happened with another couple, which I'll dive into later on. And so with the whole pot thing and with Chelsea pumping herself up for Jimmy to just use his own devices on how she looked, it was very, very damaging. And I feel like this parallels into people who text for a long time before they end up meeting, because this actually happened to me. It actually happened to me a couple times where I traveled a lot for work and some of these situations that I had were more so long distance, a lot of texting. And even if it's not physical, you can text someone for 2 months, but you don't know the person. You're not going to really know them and know their energy and how they make you feel until you are right beside them, until you're right with them. So I know, but with the dating app being so popular now, I feel that's kind of the same thing as Love is Blind when you really think about it. You can only look at a person's profile. They're only going to tell you the good things about them. You're not going to know if you really like the person until you are with the person, until you get their vibe, their energy, you know, and that's just something that you cannot detect via text. So in those pods, the physical and just the aura of having someone around you, their mannerisms, how they make you feel, their energy, that's something that is very, very important. And I feel that that's what the show gets wrong, because you're completely discounting the human experience by just only making it physical. That's why the dating apps don't work, because they make everything physical, but then you have a show trying to go on the complete opposite end, as if physicality does not make a difference when it comes to attraction and being around a person could potentially make you like them less or like them more, despite how attractive they are. So, yeah. Anyway, Chelsea, low self-esteem. She had two people to choose from, just like Jimmy did, this guy named Trevor and then also Jimmy. I felt like the only reason why Chelsea got engaged to Jimmy was because Jimmy simply asked her first, because Chelsea has a low self-esteem. She's not confident with herself. She's not happy with herself. She just is like, as long as someone wants me, I'm good. As long as someone wants me, I'm happy, which is a horrible way to think. If you're one of those people who is just, I want someone to accept me for me, I get it. That's valid. But the nuance to that is understanding that if you don't accept yourself first, and if you don't like yourself, and if you don't have a high self-esteem and confidence within yourself, it's going to be very, very hard for a person to come into the picture being your significant other and then making you happy because you don't even know how to do it. And that's where a lot of the relationship issues stemmed with Chelsea. Jimmy and Chelsea ended up meeting. You could definitely tell that Chelsea did not meet the expectations that Jimmy had pictured in his mind of her. He clearly was not automatically attracted to her. And in Chelsea's right, I do feel as if her intuition wasn't wrong on this. She picked that up. So because Jimmy's actions weren't necessarily making her feel secure, she kept picking at Jimmy due to that. She would say, oh, well, you know, you don't kiss me. You don't tell me that you love me. You don't do this. You don't do that. She was constantly picking at Jimmy because he wasn't making her feel secure within herself. But like I said before, she wasn't secure within herself to begin with. And that's never going to work. That is never going to work. Every relationship that you have is going to fail if you come into it being insecure with yourself. I guarantee you, it's never, ever, ever going to work. I do feel like although Chelsea was the problem, once the engagement started, I do believe that the producers exploited Chelsea to a certain extent because those damn gold cups, okay? If anyone watched the show, those gold cups aggravated me because I know what they're doing. They don't want people to see the alcohol level of what they're drinking. So that way they can't prove where they were cutting the scenes at. So every time Chelsea was having an outburst, she was crying, she was slurring her words. You could tell that she was clearly, she had been drinking too much. And the producers were recording her and they were cutting that in and it was making it seem like, okay, Jimmy was doing nothing wrong and Chelsea is just this horribly emotional person who has a low self-esteem. And although that's true, I just felt as if they were taking advantage of the fact that Chelsea was drinking a lot. And when she got drunk, she became this very emotional person because Chelsea is also a flight attendant. And flight attendants and pilots, I'm not saying all of them, so do not come at me, but they like to drink typically. It is a common theme for flight attendants to drink regularly, you know, on the job. It makes their job easier. So I'll never diagnose someone on this show, but one could say, you know, maybe she just is a very emotional drunk, or maybe she might have a personality disorder or maybe addiction of some sort. I don't know. But that was the only issue. I just kind of wish they didn't only show just those outbursts. But I will give it to Jimmy because Jimmy handled himself extremely well. I don't know. Once again, I don't know if things were cut. I don't know if Jimmy had an outburst back or was yelling at her back. We'll never know because these producers cut the show to whatever narrative they want to portray to us to watch it. So if that was what it is, Jimmy handled Chelsea extremely well. He never really raised his voice at her or anything like that. He seemed to be pretty forgiving. He seemed to be pretty patient. And you could tell that Chelsea was really hammering Jimmy down, and you could tell that Jimmy was getting really frustrated with it. No one wants to be in a relationship with another person and they constantly feel as if they just have to keep reminding you that, okay, I'm happy with you, I love you, I care about you. No one wants to keep having to do that. And that's where Jimmy's frustration with Chelsea was, because Chelsea would publicly embarrass them and tell Jimmy, we're not the top couple and we're not the best couple. And then Jimmy told Chelsea out of honesty, hey, my best friend, I did sleep with her. It was a one-time thing. We are still friends, but I just wanted to be transparent with you and honest with you. And every time Chelsea and Jimmy got into a fight, she kept throwing it in his face. She was very uncomfortable with the fact that Jimmy and his best friend had still talked, even though after her and Jimmy got engaged, Chelsea had talked to her ex, who she had had some type of relationship with in the past. And Jimmy had said, well, he was the first person you FaceTimed after we got engaged. And I mean, I never really made a big deal out of it. And I also told you this in confidence, and now you've shared it with everyone on national television. And I was telling you that in confidence because I didn't want to make my best friend look a certain type of way. And Chelsea didn't honor that. Chelsea did not know how to honor Jimmy's boundaries. Yeah, these type of people, when they can't honor your boundaries, when they clearly have a low self-esteem, those are people, don't even waste your time. Don't even waste your time. That's the bare minimum. As an adult, you should be able to honor people's boundaries, be confident within yourself, have a high self-esteem, have a secure attachment. And I'm definitely going to have an episode discussing attachment styles because I feel like it's very pertinent to relationships. Very, very important for the health of a relationship to know your attachment style. Jimmy did do his due diligence by telling her before she embarrassed herself, before she got herself all psyched up, he told her straight up, Chelsea, I'm not going to marry you. We're not going to finish this experiment at the altar. There's nothing I can do to make you happy. There's nothing that I can do to make you secure. And I 100% agree with Jimmy's decision. It's nothing you can do to make another person secure within themselves, within the relationship. Only they could do that. You could share your location. You could send all the pictures. You could be 100% honest. But internally, if that person is painting all types of pictures in their head about you cheating, you being unfaithful, you talking to other girls, I mean, at that point, it's a lost cause. You have to separate yourself from that person, and you got to let them do the work on their own at that point. Last but not least, Clay and AD. I have a lot to discuss with these two individuals. All right, I'm going to start with Clay first. The thing that I really like to analyze with these type of shows is the characteristics and how quickly they show their characteristics and how quickly I can pick up on the type of person that they are. Because in dating, that is the most fundamental skill that you can have. Looking for the signs, acting accordingly when you see the signs. AKA, I hate using the term red flag because there's no nuance to red flag, especially when it's just repeated so much in social media. I mean, I had one guy tell me that he rejected a girl because she didn't like Olive Garden, and Olive Garden was his favorite place. And he told me that was a red flag. That was a red flag. Okay, seriously. You're someone that could support you and love you and be there for you. And I mean, the reason why you're going to reject them is because they don't like Olive Garden. I mean, anyone could write off anything as being a red flag if they truly wanted to. So that's the reason why I don't like to call them red flags. I like to call them large characteristic flaws, meaning that, I mean, we all have our strengths. We all have our weaknesses. I do believe that there are some weaknesses in people that are just too big that you cannot compromise your sanity, your happiness by being in a relationship with them. And that's how I like to look at it. So Clay showed some very large characteristic weaknesses that I felt AD did see them, and AD, she didn't stand up. Like, girl, why didn't you stand up? Like, AD did not stand on business. She knew exactly what her body was telling her about Clay. She knew exactly what her intuition was telling her about Clay. However, it's just, let me stay on subject and continue talking about Clay. Right away, Clay came in suave, smooth. You could tell right away. Clay has a very, very big ego. And here's the thing. We all have an ego. There's nothing wrong with having an ego. However, you have to be willing to have your ego be checked And it's very important for any of you all that are dating to see how a person responds when their ego is checked. That's the most important thing. Who is this person going to become when I give them criticism? Who is this person going to become when things don't go their way? Because that's their ego being tapped into. That's the true them. And so although they're on a show where they're talking to multiple people in order to have an engagement and therefore get married, Clay showed his weakness. He showed his weakness two times. He asked AD, he told AD, I want a woman that has big lips. I want a woman that has a small waist. I want a woman that has a big ass. Okay, you are on a show that the whole premise of it is to not care as much about the physical aspect, which is why you can't see the person when you're getting to know them. That way you're not lusting after them. But that's exactly what he's doing. He is coming into a situation where he's just pretty much trying to lust after a woman. And if you don't check off the boxes of these three attributes, I don't know if I'm going to be able to deal with you or not. I don't know if I'm going to like you or not, which is horrible. That's absolutely horrible. It's objectifying. It's very shallow. That is a large characteristic flaw that no one should be ignoring at all whatsoever. AD, she put her foot down and she did say, I'm not going to tell you how I look. I'm not going to tell you how I look. It ended up working out in Clay's favor because AD has big lips, small waist, big butt. AD has a beautiful figure. She goes to the gym. She takes very, very good care of herself. Weakness number two in Clay. When AD told him that she also was interested in Matthew, Clay flipped his wig. He went off. He got so angry because his ego took a hit. Clay looks at himself. He is very attractive, tall, dark, handsome, entrepreneur. And Matthew, although he's attractive too, he was comparing himself to Matthew. So in Clay's head, he's like, how the hell are you going to be talking to him and you like him? And don't you know who I am? Very alpha male, very, very alpha man type of behavior. You know, do you not know who I am? Do you not know the type of man that you're dealing with? Pretty much just trying to make AD feel as if she didn't choose him, she was going to be at a massive loss. When in reality, it would have not been a massive loss because, girl, he already telling you that physically it's a big deal to him. And if you don't look a certain way to him, you are out. You won't even get a chance with him. He's too good to be with someone that does not meet all these attributes. And she ends up crying. He got so mad at her, raising his voice, yelling at her, making her feel so guilty, even though she did not do anything wrong. She ends up crying. And so right then, I believe that, because men are smart, okay? Men are very, very smart. I knew at that point, Clay knew, okay, she's going to put up with me. She's going to deal with me. She let me yell at her. She let me talk down on her. She let me talk her down so much that she apologized for doing absolutely nothing wrong. And I feel as if at that point, Clay already knew what type of woman that AD was, and he knew she would tolerate his BS. They end up meeting. As I said, AD is gorgeous, beautiful body, beautiful couple, you know, just a picturesque couple. They do look very, very nice and very complimentary to one another. Now we get into more character flaws popping up where Clay is having a conversation with AD and AD saying, you know, I don't eat or drink empty calories. She's very health conscious, which you can tell in her physique. And Clay pretty much tells her, you know, pretty much, I hope you stay looking like this. And if you don't stay looking like this, I'm definitely going to tell you. And your ass is going to be in the gym if you fall off of how you look right now. And you could tell that AD was very bothered by it because she did say that was not nice to say. What would make you think that that would be something that you could say? And what is going to happen when I have children? My body is going to change. I'm not going to have this figure forever. And Calais, he is standing firm on this. He said, I don't care. I'm telling your ass to get in the gym anyway. You're going to go. You should want someone to do that. You should want someone to tell you to do that. It was so cringe. It was so, so cringe to just see Clay putting AD in the predicament where it's just, you're supposed to be on the show to not have physicality as to be an important thing. It's something that you can value. Of course, you need to be physically attracted to someone, but all Clay did was just talk about AD's body. I do not think in the whole entire show, Clay mentioned one thing about AD as a person. All he did was compliment her on how nice her body was and then compliment her by saying, I'm hard to deal with and she puts up with me. I'm hard to deal with and she puts up with me and she's allowed me to grow so much and yada yada yada. Then he explains to AD that pretty much he doesn't feel comfortable getting married because he grew up with his father who was cheating on his mother, and his father had him present for his cheating event throughout his mother and father's marriage. So he was exposed to his father cheating, and he pretty much was saying that from that being so traumatic, he growing up has made that a part of his identity because his father, very suave, very smooth, good looking, could get a lot of women, always had multiple women. So Clay has identified that at a young age as part of his personality to not be monogamous, to be, you know, Rico Suave and have all of these women and be a womanizer pretty much. And so he pretty much is telling AD, without telling her, I'm not going to marry you. I can't marry you because I am not a monogamous man. That's what he was telling her. And I just feel as though AD was just thinking, I could fix that. And I'm thinking, girl, stand up. What are you doing? This man, he has too many character flaws, large character flaws to overlook. What are you doing, sis? You need to walk away now. You need to walk away now, but no. She continues to stay. She continues to give him flowers because she acknowledges the fact that he's so vulnerable and he can open up to me. I understand that. And especially as a man, men aren't necessarily taught to express their feelings and to open up and things like that. So as women, it's very easy for us to wanna put men on a pedestal when they decide to do this and express their feelings. But here's the thing. Expressing your feelings is only the first part. What are you doing to navigate your feelings? What are you doing to change these things? Are you seeing a therapist? Are you getting the help that you need to overcome this? Because expressing the feelings is just the start. What are you going to do to change yourself and to improve yourself? And I felt as if AD was just so happy with the bare minimum. It's especially at a certain age, it's an adult responsibility to be able to communicate your feelings, express your feelings, and then be able to work through them. And that is something that you should not be doing or needing to do when you are in a serious relationship with a person. It's to me, expressing your feelings, communicating your feelings, that should be a human basic skill by now. Just like you know how to cook, you know how to eat healthy, going to work, etc. That's another thing that you should have mastered already, to know how to be emotionally available, knowing how to communicate. That should be a human basic skill by now. You shouldn't be fixing anyone to get to that point. If you are, you need to cut your losses and you need to keep it moving. That's not your job. It's not your job to get someone to open up to you. It's not your job to get someone to be emotionally available to you. No. So AD, she was Bob the Builder. And in the end, it ended up costing her because Clay got her all the way to the altar just to tell her, I cannot do this. I cannot marry you. Now, I will give Clay that. Clay understood. He looked at himself in the mirror and he was honest with himself. And he knew, I can't marry this girl because I know that I'm not going to be faithful to her because I have not overcome the trauma of me seeing my father cheating throughout my childhood and me having to rewire my brain and understand and learn that no person should be treated like that, no matter how good they are to me. So I will give Clay props for that, because it does take a honest man to do that. Because if Clay wanted to, he could have been like, you know what, she's beautiful, she's fine, she tolerates me, I don't have to be lonely, I get someone to cook, to clean, to sleep with me, and boom, and then he would just be cheating on her. So I will give Clay props for that. I definitely will. The main character of the show, who I do see on social media, she actually is getting a lot of praise for doing this, was Clay's mother. Clay's mother and father had spoke after the proposal and after Clay denying AD a marriage. And pretty much Clay's mother had a conversation with her ex-husband saying, what you did to our son, he brought that with him to the altar. Pretty much the trauma that you inflicted on your son is something that he's still holding on to. And that is the reason why he can't commit to anyone, because of what you exposed him to. And she's 100% correct. That is the reason why Clay is the person that he is today, because of his father and the imprinting that his father left on him by teaching him be a womanizer and be unfaithful, even though you are in a marriage. And the thing that is so crazy to me is that Clay's father still doesn't get it. He still doesn't fucking get it. He says, yes, he said he's saying all the right things to his ex-wife. You know, I did do that. We do need to sit down and have a conversation about it, et cetera, et cetera. And then he says, I'll just tell Clay that he needs to find someone like you. He needs to be with someone like you. And then Clay's mother says, well, you had someone like me and you didn't treat me right. So no, that has nothing to do with it. You're still not addressing the root of the problem. You're just going to tell him to find someone like me just to do the same thing to another woman that you did to me. And she's so right about that. If Clay does not heal his trauma, if he does not work through what that did to him, the beliefs that that's instilled in him as what he needs to be as a man, even though it's hurting other people, he is going to hurt every single woman that he comes into contact with. AD is no better. AD's self-esteem was just as low because AD just keeps thinking, and she even said it herself. She says, I'm such a fix-a-hoe. She said it herself. She even said, if I see a red flag, I paint my nails to match. AD knows what her problem is. She just refuses to fix it. And she's just searching and going from person to person so she can just be with someone without working on herself. If you don't do the work, if you don't see a therapist, if you don't address what you've been exposed to throughout your childhood, with your family, with your peers, anyone, you're not going to have a successful relationship. You're not. It's going to be full of turmoil because you don't know yourself. You don't know your true authentic self. You've had everyone in your life imprinting on you. So that is it. This was a very, very long podcast. I am going to leave descriptions in the info box of the timestamp so that if there's any dynamic that you want to just specifically listen to, I'll have it listed in the information box. Thank you guys so much for listening, and I hope you all have a great week. Until the next episode, bye.